Welcome to Shiro's Unlimited. I'm Janie Morris and I'm delighted to have your company. My intention, as always, hopefully for you, is to feel that you've learned something new, that you've heard someone's story that holds inspiration for you, that brings an idea to you, that inspires you to do something different, change something, and most importantly, holds value for you. I'm absolutely over the moon with our episode today. My guest is a woman who I personally met a long time ago. I had the great fortune of spending some early time in my life where I used to do a little bit of singing and a little bit of loving in the music. For those of you who follow me, you know that my late husband was a musician here in Australia. And so that was all how we met and how that all happened. But through that journey in those early years, I met my guest today who actually did something that so many of us would love to do or wished we had have done. And she took a leap of faith. She trusted in her heart that the gift that she had in music and in singing was her path in this life. And back in those early years, I do remember we were in a studio in Adelaide in South Australia called Soundtrack Australia, and we finished doing a job that we had been booked to do there. And Lisa said, "This is the last time I'll see you for a while. I'm going." Oh. And that was when she left to go interstate. My guest is an incredible Australian solo and session singer. She has sung with some of the most incredible Australian talent, but she in her own right is a beautiful, beautiful woman and is a very talented Australian. We're going to talk to her today in Shiro's Unlimited about her life. She's going to tell us, fill in the gaps. Lisa Edwards, welcome to Shiro's Unlimited.
Oh, Janie, you have brought tears to my eyes. I'm really humbled by your introduction. Thank you so much. And I remember that too. I actually have. You did bring tears to my eyes. I wear my heart on my sleeve. So, but I remember that time, and I remember when you had asked me before. Do I remember? Yes, I do. And they were such wonderful days in Adelaide. But it's lovely to. So, hello and hello to all your listeners.
It's great to have you with us. Now, Lisa, we're going to talk about what's happening right now, but we're going to leave that. We're going to go back a little bit first. So you, as I mentioned, you were born in Adelaide. You grew up in Adelaide.
Born at an early age.
Tell us about those early years and what the inspiration in those times. And did you know that music was going to be your life in the early years?
Look, when I was about five, I would say, when I, you know, I could walk, talk, and just know the things that were around me. I had a wonderful childhood, and I was born into a family where music was constant on a daily basis, 7 days a week. And my father, we had a family business. We ran a family business, but my father was a great jazz pianist. He learned as a child to be a classical. His mother wanted him to be a classical pianist, but that never happened. He was a great jazz player. And my mother was a beautiful singer. She was a great singer, but never pursued music as such. She had multiple sclerosis, and it was a slow process of multiple sclerosis. And she passed away 6 months after my daughter was born, which was 18 years ago. I've still got tears in my eyes from what you said. And I grew up listening to a lot of jazz music to start with. And because of my mother's illness, I used to go to my nana's place a lot and stay on weekends. We had a very close-knit family with my cousins, and they lived in Tasmore. And my nana lived in Tasmore. She was on her own at this time. And I used to sleep in the big double bed with her. She was one of the first women to have a hip replacement in South Australia. and two hip replacements. She was gorgeous. She'd waddle around, but across from her house was the Tusmore Town Hall. And in those days, they had a venue there that was famous for international and national artists that would come to South Australia, and they would perform there. So I would lie in bed at, you know, from 6 years on, when I was really aware of what was going on, I'm going, I could hear this music. And one night my cousin was there, and the music that I used to hear, it was Friday nights and Saturday nights, and it was really loud. Billy Thorpe and the Aztecs, the early Brian Cadd's band, Axiom, and the Russell Morrises, Colleen Hewitts, all of those acts were on. And I loved this music. I used to listen to all the jazz greats, Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan, Billie Holiday. And I was the youngest of four siblings, of course. So I had all their music genres that, you know, were being played as well. Chicago. There were so many. And my sister's collection of 45s with Lulu and Dusty Springfield. So I had all of that. And there was never really in that stage a transition of when I grow up, I want to be a singer. It was just the path that came before me and the path that I took. I watched people standing around my dad having so much fun and singing, and the joy that he brought to them. And they would sing, and we had a lot of dinner parties. And because I was so young, I had to be, you know, off to bed. So I'd get up and I'd sit with my back to the door, listening to everything. And they were singing their hearts out. It was just always music. And so from there, music's just been a huge passion in my life. And I think I was seven. I'd go in and I'd watch my father playing piano. Sometimes he would just go and sit and play, and I'd wander up to the lounge room and I'd watch him, and then I'd start learning all the songs that he was playing. And two of my very, very earliest songs that I sang with him, there was an RSL across the road from us, and on a monthly basis they used to have a lot of entertainment weekends with all lots of artists, and my father's jazz band would they'd be up there and they'd be filling in the music through the day. So I got up, and that was my first real appearance with my dad. And I sang Bluesette, which was a Ray Charles song, and Girl from Ipanema. And after we sold the business, he was an advisory officer of the Wine Information Bureau, and they used to have a lot of community and family days down at the Barossa Valley. And so I, in front of hundreds of adult audience, my first adult, real adult audience, I sang a Hans Poulsen song, Boom Shalalalo. Feeling groovy, I played guitar, and there was another one, but I can't remember. The Boxer, I think it was. Oh no, White a Shade of Pale. And I think because I crossed that line, I was so nervous. I was quite a shy person. Shy young person, but I was a tomboy and as well. I was comfortable in the company of friends and family, but outside that I was quite shy. But I took that step and to perform, and once I had, it was in me, it was in my blood. And through that and through people hearing and seeing what I did, even at such a young age and with contacts, things just seemed to start to roll on. And I did a lot of dancing. I played lacrosse. My family were sports mad, and we were sort of a jack of all trades. family, you know, and master of some. But sport played a huge role in my life as well. I was from my grandfather to my father, my two brothers, my sister and myself, and my mother was the avid supporter on the side. We played for Brighton Lacrosse Club, and we played for South Australia. We represented South Australia, And then when I eventually moved to Melbourne, I joined the Newport Lacrosse Club, and I played for Victoria, and I even played against my sister at one stage. But playing all the sports that I did, tennis, squash, swimming, played a huge role in my fitness, sustainability of keeping fit, because being on stage is very physical, and it kept me grounded as well, you know. But I just met so many wonderful people throughout my journey. I perform on these Saturday morning shows with Daryl Cotton and Marty Monster. Do you remember that show?
I do.
So long ago. Beautiful late Daryl Cotton. And then Rick Marshall had a sort of an entertainment program. My days in school were really important for me because I was involved in everything music, even going on to my secondary school, which was Dover Gardens. But I actually found, well, after both my parents passed away, my brother sent me, after going through the house and, you know, clearing things out, he sent me a piece of paper. And it was on education, education paper. And it said that, and it was dated in August 1964. So I wasn't quite five yet. I was nearly five. But it said that, dear Mrs. Edwards, if you could make sure that Lisa made it home as she has been, as we have found her in undesirable places. Oh. Undesirable places. Say like after reading at 3 o'clock and after something else at 3:30, that would ease our minds greatly. Her reading ability was very good. Her music, we see a music ability, she could make a very good musician. And I went, they've detected this and I'm not even five, but I really want to know what was undesirable in a 5-minute walk between primary school and home. And yeah, so, but that was beautiful. And that was written by the headmaster. And that, so that's one of the wonderful things that I've got from my past. I had a lot of wonderful music teachers that took me under my wing. You know, my group harmony started in, there was so much that had a lot to do with my growing up in.
You were instrumental in putting that group together in school, my understanding is.
Well, my music teacher, Mrs. Hoffmeyer, Gwen Hoffmeyer, she had such a passion for music. She loved her students. She was a great music teacher. And she took me under her wing. She saw potential in me. I hung around the music room even when I wasn't required for anything. You know, I just wanted to watch whatever was being rehearsed, whatever was being done. It was just music, music, music. And she saw my passion through that. I used to do a lot of singing of the anthems at school and anything that was required. But there were three other girls that were in, they were 2 years up from me, she obviously saw their musicality in them as well, and they used to sing a lot together. So she brought us together, and our blend was beautiful. It was like a family of sisters coming together, and we grew up with the same interests of music and our passion for music and singing, and we formed the group Harmony. We used to rehearse on a daily basis, and new songs, Janet Van Ravack, Carmen Jones and Lynette Pearson were their names, and that's my little phone going off here, so I'm sorry if it's disturbing us. One of our first debuts was on the Australia's New Faces, and we made it to the grand final, and singing Sounds of Silence, we came second. And from there, a lot of people noticed us, saw us, and we were taken under the wing of Bob Lott, who owned Central Booking Agency. And he was our agent, our manager, and he put us on to Wally Carr. I'm not sure if you remember Wally Carr,
who was a
great entertainer in his day, over both nationally and internationally. Well, we went to him and he showed us the ropes of the stage work. He took us through our songs, he took us through performance, talked about clothes, outfits, about getting charts done, worked on our pattern. So helped us basically. It was like a school for us. And he just taught us the ropes about show business and working on stage. And from there, we took over. We had charts made, we had costumes made, and we were heading for the big time. And even though we were still at school, we had parental supervision on the times when we went to when we went interstate, so our parent would take turns, and we were working all around South Australia, Victoria, New South Wales, doing the RSLs, the clubs with the one-armed bandits, supporting international artists like the Platters and the Drifters, and even Warren Mitchell, Australian artists, Robin Jolly, and all sorts. And it was magnificent. And we had our own show, which we performed up at the South Australia Hotel. That was our very first debut of our own show. And that was couple of weeks running. And so it took off from there. We were together for several years. We toured with Kamal, and we worked on a show with Reg Livermore out in Paraka.
Ridgeway.
Oh God, I miss Adelaide. It will always be my home, my friends, and I'm still in contact with a lot of my school friends, because all that connection is a part of who I am today. And my performance today, why I perform, their support, everything. And it was over this time that I started doing commercials for radio and television, and at Pepper's as well, and at
Soundtrack Australia.
Grapevine. Yeah, and I did a lot of work at Grapevine with Idris Jones.
Yeah.
He was a great teacher, and that was how I really got involved and learned a lot about singing in the studio. And it's quite daunting at first, you know, because I mean you sing, and but when you hear yourself back and you hear your voice in the cans, so you have to get through all of those things.
Yeah.
I learned a lot about the studio. I worked at Slater Studio with Rick Kent and Jamie Rigg, and Rick eventually became my manager, sort of manager.
Right.
And after Harmony had disbanded, I kept going in the music business and singing in rock bands around Adelaide, all different bands, but a lot of the commercials that I did through the week, they were national ads. And so that made my transition from Adelaide to Melbourne much easier, because Melbourne had finer singers doing commercials for radio and television. And, you know, the live work was immense. There was just so much work happening over there, and all the live venues and all the music shows, you know, television shows, Hey Hey It's Saturday, all those shows. the Don Lane show, the Bert Newton show, Ernie Sigley. I used to do all those shows in Adelaide as well. Ernie Sigley and Ann Wills, and
yes,
beautiful. So I had a great beginning, you know.
So when you took that leap of faith, and and went in to say, I mean, you haven't looked back since then. And I mean, many of us, many of our listeners as well today will know a lot of your work with John Farnham.
Yes.
Can you tell us briefly how did that come about? And that relationship has gone over, you know, quite a few years, and has been quite successful for you.
Going from Adelaide to Melbourne, when I was in Adelaide, and I used to listen to all the music, and even on the local radios, all the people that I listened to, you know, Stylus, Brian Cann, all those people, I wanted to one day sing with them or be with them, or, you know, be like them. And my then manager, Rick Kent, we had a band in Adelaide where we did the support for Roy Orbison and the Pointer Sisters. And it wasn't long after that when he was going to move to Melbourne, and he had a lot of contacts because he was a great drummer, renowned drummer, with everybody. He worked with everybody and recorded and produced everyone. So I went over with Rick. His family were already stationed there. They'd found a place, and I stayed with them for about a year before I moved on to my own place. I met Peter Couples. I met almost immediately I was introduced to all the people that I'd been listening to on the radio, and I started singing a lot of the commercials. So that transition helped me in there. I met, and through doing a lot of the commercials at AAV and Alan Eaton Studios, there was a guy called Peter Sullivan, and Peter Sullivan had a big band, great pianist, big band, and I used to do a lot of corporate gigs with him. And this particular night, I was working at the Crown in the Palladium. This was some time, I'd been in Melbourne for about 6 years by now. I'd been in my own bands. I had recorded an album, my album called Waiting for the Big One, with Trevor Courtney and David Herzog, and I've done a lot of things up to then. And I had worked a lot of live concerts as well with Lindsay Field and Vanetta Fields, and so they knew my singing, and we worked well together, we connected. And I was doing this gig at the Palladium one night with Peter Sullivan and this big band, and I was the upfront singer. And this particular night, John happened to be in the audience. I can't even remember who it was for, but he was in the audience, and with Glenn. And I didn't know at the time until the end of the evening. But I got up and I sang a couple of Whitney Houston songs, The Greatest Love of All, and one of my other favorites, and I'm having a senior moment. But he came up to me after that song, and he said, g'day, Lise. You know, he said, I'm Johnny. I don't know who you are. And he said, you know, you've done a beautiful job tonight, and would you be, you know, willing to join my band, you know, the band, with Lindsay and Vanetta and all the other members. And it was right at the time when my album Waiting for the Big One had just come out. Jeff Skews was sort of looking after me at the time, and I said, you know, can I ask, I'll get back to you. I said, I would love to. I knew in my heart that's what I wanted to do. Mm. And but at that particular time, because this album was out and didn't really go anywhere, but they said no, because we're going to do some promotion for it. So I had to say no. And then, but something was just eating at me. And I rang John up just on my own accord and said, John, hi, it's Lisa. I said, am I too late? Can I change? You know, I said, it's not that I didn't want to, but can I change my mind? He understood everything that was going on. And he went on, it was too late because they were going overseas. And when touring starts, a lot of bookings are done well in advance, and, you know, bookings of hotels and, you know, the venues and everything and flights, all of that. So it wasn't till the end of that particular tour, when they came back, we did the expo, the Brisbane Expo. That was the next live thing that Farnham did. We did the opening of the Brisbane Expo. And I still remember to this day, and every time Age of Reason plays with the clock ticking, that I always get transported back to that very first time that I stood on stage with John and this wonderful, wonderful band. We just got along so well, you know. And Vanetta was one of my mentors. She was my muse, you know. And we just sang so, oh, it was powerful. It was powerful. And, you know, the canvas came down and there were, you know, this sea of people. And it was just one of the greatest moments in my life. And, and from then on, 35 years later, I'm still with him. And, you know, and I had the beautiful honour of singing duets with him through his tours. And in between when we were off the road, because we would work months at a time travelling nationally. And then when people thought that we were probably on a break, we were actually overseas touring Europe and Asia. And it was fantastic. I love touring. It's wonderful.
And I think that one of the words that you just used then too, Lisa, sums that part of your life up beautifully, very powerful. Yeah. Everything that the public has seen of you over that part of your journey, and as you've just beautifully described with John and Vanetta and the whole crew, always comes across as powerful. It always imprints in the soul. And I think that that's one of the magic talents that you yourself have. And I think that it's also come through in all of your solo work as well. And which brings me to your latest body of work that has just been released. Very excited about this. I don't know how many times I've listened to your new album, Lisa. It's on my Spotify. It's on my I've got it on absolutely everything. Kicking it off. Let's just let the audience understand here with your new album. The title song, well, the song that you've released as a single, I Am Woman, Helen Reddy's song. Can I ask you, and by the way, listeners, if you haven't heard Lisa Edwards' latest album, number one, why not?
I happen to have one here with me.
I just want to be prepared earlier. Why not? And get out there. And by the way, at the bottom of this podcast, all of the links on where to get Lisa's latest album as well are there, and all of the contact details for Lisa and where she'll be touring. But the song I Am Woman, it's iconic. Globally, yes. Helen Reddy's, I think it's the one song that everybody identifies universally with Helen Reddy. Why did you choose this song?
Well, it was played regularly, and it was just, you know, entrenched in my mind. And when it would come on, I just saw the reaction of people. And I thought, look, and I'll be honest, it wasn't one of my favourite songs, but it was powerful. And in the day that, well, It was written by Helen Reddy and another Australian musician producer, Ray Burton, who is residing back here in Australia now. And I had a love-hate relationship with it, and what I wanted to do was sort of change it around, and I put this funky beat to it, and I've been playing it like that for years, and every time we did, it would go off, and the room, the women and men would start singing it. And in the making of this album, we wanted another track, but a lot of the other tracks, so of 11 tracks, 10 are original, 9 of which Michael Cristiano and myself wrote. Michael is the producer of the album, co-producer, and we have been working together for 20 years in between my works and our other commitments. And we wanted to put this album together because we do a lot of duet things, and I do a lot of stuff with my own band as well. But I love doing the acoustic, and I love doing the smaller venues and dinner shows. So we added this song because people were familiar with it, and we needed to have something that people were familiar with, because the rest of the album were all original songs that I wrote with Michael. He's a beautiful singer, great musician, and he is a collaborator and a musical director with the Seekers and worked with international artists as well. And we had been working on this album for many years, actually. And albeit, the, you know, 2020 with the lockdown, we couldn't do a lot through that. And in the end, we decided, look, we're not going to hurry this, because we spent so much love, passion and time and everything that we loved and what we threw into this album. We were just having too much fun. We were. But there were layers and layers and layers of vocals, because harmony is a huge passion of mine. It's one of my foremost passions, and with singing. Even if I'd sing a song, or a song would be playing and I'd sing along with it, I wouldn't sing the melody, I'd sing a harmony. And I've done that all my life. Working with John, working with all these wonderful people, the musicians, the crews, watching the stages being built, this has all had a huge part in what came together in the making of this album. And I'm so proud of it. And, you know, when you're so close to something, you can be really quite critical of things, you know.
Yes.
I love this album, and I'm not just saying it for a sales point of view. But no, but I do. I'm really proud of it. And when I played a couple of songs when I was in the throes of pre-production to some very close friends of mine, one of my dearest girlfriends, she went, "Lisa," she said, "I'm hearing you for the first time, because I'm not singing someone else's songs. I'm singing my own songs and my own interpretation and from where these songs came from." And, you know, they're songs that everyone can relate to. There's pop, there's R&B, there's an alternative track in there, which was quite funny how it came about to being written. I love what's in it. It's the fashion one with the, you know, Armani, Versace, Dior, Rubenacci. I'm not going to sing anything at the moment because I'm not.
I know.
What we talked about. But, but I love being in the studio. We weren't in a hurry to get it done because we wanted it to be done right. And I think it's become a really classy album.
It certainly shines through, and your girlfriend is absolutely spot on. When I listened to it, and now I realise what it was, the essence that I was trying to capture. She's absolutely right. It's all about Lisa. And you can hear Lisa. It's an incredible album. So excited for you. I'm so excited for the world to hear this album.
Can I say one thing? Yes. I actually missed with the I Am Woman, what I wanted to do for it as well, because the original classic was very, you know, it was about women's liberation and all of that. Well, I wanted this because of, we changed it into a funky beat and how we have recorded it. I wanted it to be a celebration for women, especially women over 50. I'm over 50, I'm well over 50 and, you know, and going strong still. Mm-hmm. And I'm loving it. But it's for guys, it's for everybody, you know. It's about just being strong, mental health, happiness, self-preservation, you know, all those things. So it's that was one of my reasons for that song as well. It was a celebration for women.
And that's a really good point too, because with everything with all the changes that are going on globally and all the disrupts that are occurring, because that's what happens with change as well. We understand that specifically for women and women over 50, it can be quite a confusing and irritating time as well on some level, but this being a celebration of all is
putting the political essence aside.
Exactly. And do you know what, Lisa, I think that we need more of that, because between you and I think that we need more of that pushed aside and more of the embracing of all who we are together.
Yeah, acknowledge the divine
within us, everybody. Absolutely. Now, Lisa, before I forget you, before I let you go, and thank you for your time again. I know you're very busy with everything, with your with the promotion of this beautiful album, and I'm sure you've got a lot more work in the pipeline going on as well. Now, you're touring as well. Are you going to be touring all around Australia? And
look, we'll do that later on in the year. Right. Okay. Need to get the album up and running. I'm actually performing at the Palms, which unfortunately, because of our lockdowns, the date has been postponed. Yes. But we are at the Palms on the 4th of July. Yes. I'm at the Palms. It's also a celebration for Dennis Walter's new album, which is out.
Yes.
And I'm a guest artist. And I'll be singing a couple of songs off my album and a few other songs as well, and a few of his songs, because I did some vocals. I did backing vocals on his album.
Of course.
So I'll be doing that.
Fantastic.
I'm out and about doing, you know, my gigs when I can.
Yes.
And we will be looking towards, you know, doing some touring and launching the album that way. Towards the end of the year.
Fantastic. And as I mentioned before to our listeners, all of the details, and we will at Shiro's Unlimited, and also my online presence at janiemorris.com, we'll make sure that you've got all of the details of where Lisa is going to be touring and also where you can get this album. Lisa, we've also got you featured in an upcoming issue of Shiro's Unlimited magazine, which we're very excited about as well. So
thank you for that. And I have to tell you, I mean, I've got the questionnaires. It is so hard to condense 5 decades of so you'll have to edit. You'll be doing a lot of editing.
I'm sure our production assistant will not edit anything. She's quite about all just putting it all out there. So that'll be a lot of fun as well. But Lisa, look, thank you. Congratulations on this album. Congratulations on your career so far, and congratulations on the constant inspiration that you give all women, not just women over 50, who obviously is our audience, but all women, for taking that leap of faith all those years ago and following your heart and living your dream. We're very honoured to have you on Shiro's Unlimited, and thank you so much today.
Thank you, Janie. Oh, it's beautiful to see you, and thank you to all your listeners, and I hope you love the album.
Thank you for having me.
you're more
than welcome. And if you've enjoyed listening to this podcast just as much as I have enjoyed bringing you Shiro's Unlimited podcast, then make sure that you like it, share this everywhere, and make sure you also subscribe. And if you've got any questions or you've got any comments, comment below. As I mentioned before, all of the details on how you can get Lisa's latest album, how keeping in contact with Lisa as well, so when she does tour or she's got anything new to let you know, all of those details will be below where you're listening to this as well. And we do thank you again. If this is your first time listening to Shiro's Unlimited, welcome. We hope you have enjoyed it. And if you've been listening to all of our Shiro's Unlimited episodes, well, it's great to have you back with us again. And I look forward to having your company when next we bring Shiro's Unlimited, the podcast. Make sure you subscribe at shirosunlimited.com. I'm Janie Morris. And until next time, I hope you have an absolutely fabulous day.